Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello, and welcome to Backstage Pass, central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm John Mauer, and I'll be moderating this session, where we will be spending a relaxing weekend with the boys, or should I say cast and production crew of Love, Valor, Compassion, being presented by Pinworth Productions at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. Written by Terrence McNally, Love, Valor, Compassion is a big, generous, haunted comedy that is both funny and filled with implications of time's passage, of loss, and death. Set in a country farmhouse in upstate New York, eight men hash out their passions, resentments, and fears over the course of three summer weekends, where infidelity, flirtations, soul-searching, AIDS, truth-telling, and skinny-dipping mix with the monumental questions about life, death, and a wacky dress rehearsal of Swan Lake performed in drag. In this beautifully written work, McNally presents humbling evidence of what human love is and can be. The show ran on Broadway for 248 performances and won the 1995 Tony Award for Best Play. With me here to talk about the Pinworth production are director Lou Stallsworth and actors Mark Applegate, Lynn Baskin, and Jonathan Polanco. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so Lou, why this show? Why Love, Valor, Compassion?
Because it is, in my estimation, the most wonderful dialogue we have seen on stage since Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. As you know, my training is as a playwright. So for me, everything starts with the script. The more intelligent the script, the more I like it. The more insightful, another level up. The more passionate, the more human, the more giving, the more generous, the more honest. I saw the show on Broadway. I was taken by it. I've wanted to do it for a long time. It is now time, and I'm thrilled. It's a challenging script, and unlike a lot of what we do at Kelsey, it's not a musical. Even though we do some Swan Lake dance, and there is some music, and the gentlemen do sing, but it is about the community. It's the kind of dialogue that we talk when we're in the back of the theater. A couple of guys talking trash, and the barbs come out. And what happens in the show, these are men who are just close to one another, have known each other a long time, and that's the kind of smack talk that we all do when we're comfortable. The comfort level of these characters in this show, just sit back, relax, and eavesdrop on a summer.
Now, but is this going to be a weighty show? I mean, there's some weighty issues going on here, yet it's a comedy.
It's that kind of smart talk, that wise aleck thing that is laughably funny. It is often crude. It is never polite. Recently, we did a piece of the show for a group. We were doing some promotional work. About 95 people who, in the middle of an evening of conversation, a little snack, a little socializing, a little business networking, we did two scenes. Everybody kind of settled back, and you could see them being drawn into the story. And then when the snark comments started, you can see them, everybody's nodding their head, and they're going, oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I've said that. We've all seen that. And yeah, a lot of laughter.
Is this something where people have to be in on the, it's a group of gay men. Do they have to be in on that
Not
in some
all.
Way?
Oh, no, this is the same conversation that all of us went through in high school, in college, in the gym, on the job, at the coffee urn, in the office. And it's the same sort, again, I use the word snark because
that's... This is universal snark?
Oh, this is just everything you've ever said when your mom wasn't listening.
On that. Okay, so we have three of the snarks with us here today. Okay. Now, Lynn, you're George, mm-hmm. right? And George... No. Gregory.
Correct.
Sorry. See, I need to wear my glasses more.
That's okay.
You're Gregory in the show. Gregory is the owner of the house
right.
that all these people are in. Tell me something about Gregory.
Well, Gregory's the steady of the group. Gregory's an established choreographer, albeit very aging. He's the owner of the house, so he's sort of the center of everyone's universe. He's the point from which they all sort of resonate. So he's the host, but throughout the play, you know, Gregory, in my opinion, doesn't have sort of the emotional highs and lows as everybody else until a certain point within the play. You have to come see to see when. But for the most part, Gregory's pretty even keel, so it allows the other characters to kind of play off of him.
So he's sort of the rock right now that everybody is sort of like hanging on to as this story begins.
Right.
And then at some point, I don't know, the rock comes loose?
The rock comes loose.
So, all of a sudden, Mark, who are you playing in this show?
I am playing Bobby, who is blind, actually. And going on what Lynn had said, Gregory is Bobby's rock. Although Bobby's young, he doesn't really know what he wants. He sometimes has to lie to get what he wants, but he's very confused. I think Gregory's still there. Gregory's always going to be there for everyone. It's just like everyone else, I think, falls out from underneath him, especially Bobby. I can only speak for Bobby.
By fall out, what do you mean?
Without giving too much away, just some things happen where that rock is shaken. There's lots of storylines and plot lines that are going on. There's love. There's infidelities, like you had said in your intro. But there's also the snarky comments, the references to 80s divas. And
are there any in this room right now?
Okay. I don't want to call the character the comic relief, but perhaps the most outrageous, the most flamboyant, the ones that make you just shake your head and say, oh my, that would be Buzz, and that'd be Jonathan Polanco. John sort of takes the show to places most of us never quite get to. He lives outside the bounds of self-restraint.
I'm just saying, the character's so wonderful that I didn't even have to say anything about myself. That just says boundless things about the character right there.
Do you put this as a stretch for yourself?
No. in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm still very young and a very unexperienced person in life is what I'm always told at rehearsals. But, you know, getting to live this life and getting to be this character has kind of taught me a lot. And there's a lot of there's a lot of things that I've had to learn along the way with the character, because he makes an obscene amount of references to musical theater of the past, things that I've never even heard of.
What, you haven't done your background check?
Oh, no, I've done my background check. It's just I didn't think I would have to, you know, go so deep with it. But
it's
I mean,
encyclopedia.
He really is. He just has so much knowledge about anything and everything. And if you think you have something up on him, you don't. Even in the beginning, he even says, oh, they got him, he has an obscure musical that nobody has ever heard of, and they try to get him a gift of it, and he already has it. So, you know, I mean, and I think the thing is that's so wonderful is that both of the characters and every character in the show has a lot of heavy things happening with them, but Buzz, 98% of the show is just, you know, smiling, happy, comic, you know,
and
person.
Putting a pin in everyone's balloon.
Well, you know, because you got to every now and again. You can't let people get too big for their britches, please.
So Buzz is the person who lives life large.
Yes, very large.
And does that large life mean that there's something deep inside that he's hiding?
Yes, very much so. And that kind of goes with what all the knowledge that he has. It's kind of I was talking about it with Mark, actually. Buzz is the type of character that learns so much to kind of blind himself from what is actually happening to him in his life. You know, not giving too much away. You got to come see the show and find out what I'm talking about. But he's the type of person that rather than kind of, I don't want to say rather than dealing with it head on, he deals with his problems head on, but he tries to cushion himself through musical theater and any other information that is trivial to the outside world, but it's not trivial to him. It means a great deal to him.
A lot of the characters are blind in a way.
Yeah.
And that goes for any definition. But John and the character Buzz always makes us laugh, even in rehearsal and in the show. So, yeah, I wouldn't say comic relief, but he's funny.
He's funny.
Gregory just kind of lets him do what he does. I mean, there's a general appreciation amongst all the characters. I mean, it's not like there's some jockeying for position, but there is a deep appreciation and love and valor and compassion.
Oh, plugging the show.
That was subtle.
Good work.
Thank you.
Shameless plug.
No, but amongst the entire lot.
Let's give Bill King a little tip of the hat, who has this unique challenge of playing twin brothers, and the brothers are night and day. And
so one person's playing twin brothers.
And when he does a monologue, when he has a conversation with his brother and then responds as the brother to his first, it is a moving, masterful piece of writing. It is McNally at his finest. So Bill King has a unique challenge there.
I am on stage for a lot of his Bill King's monologues as John and James Jekyll. And it's an amazing role to play two brothers to be different from each other because they are like this, and I'm putting one hand on one side of my body and on the other, really far apart from each other. One is a good soul and one is a bad soul, and he has it worked out.
It's interesting to see it because we kind of have to have the challenge of having the different relationship with him as the one brother and then as the other brother. And it seems insane to me to have to do something like that. But Bill, like, play a character. We're trying to react off of him, what he's giving us. And, you know, that's in itself is such a big challenge for us. But then watching him do it, he does it so effortlessly and so amazingly. And it's really something to behold.
And the characters Perry and Arthur, they're the most stable. They've been together 14 years, unlike any of us.
They're role models.
Yes.
and so unlike, you know, what Lou was talking about before, where we're introducing someone new into the group, on the other hand, you've got this very stable couple who lack a lot of spontaneity. They perhaps don't fully take each other for granted, but it presents something that the rest of the cast can play off. So there's all different kinds of archetypes that are presented.
The comfortable and the not so comfortable.
The comfortable, the not so comfortable, the spontaneous, the not so spontaneous, the aging, the youthful, you know, it covers the gamut. And I think that it's getting back to what you said in the beginning about having a universal appeal, because I really do believe that it does.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, you might start off sort of in a voyeuristic way, but you can quickly see yourself seated at the table or in the living room or at the lake, because you see that you're either one of these people or you know somebody that's like one of these people. I mean, it's just very engaging.
What's special when people come out to see the show? What special do they have to look forward to?
Well, we start with our usual opening night gala. That's fairly standard here at Kelsey. After the opening night, coming into the lobby, we'll feed you some sweets, some snacks, some refreshment. Those of you who are not available for the opening night, we're doing something different. On our second weekend, Friday night, we're going to have a meet and greet with the cast. We're calling it a rainbow reception. Everyone is welcome, but this is just an extra chance, something new in Kelsey. Second weekend reception, meet and greet the cast. Come on out to our rainbow reception.
So, Lou, what does Pinworth have coming up next season?
Looking at next season, looking ahead, the plan is that we will open Kelsey season next year with Kiss Me, Kate. And then return in January with A Man for All Seasons.
And for those who are looking to get a little love, valor, compassion, performances are at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will run from January 10th through the 19th. Tickets are $18 with discounts for seniors and students. Go to kelsey@mccc.org or call 609-570-3333 for further information and reservations. I want to thank my guests, Lou, Mark, Lynn, and Jonathan, for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
For Backstage Pass, I'm John Maurer. Thanks for listening.